It's the Ugly American Werewolf in London Rock Podcast with your hosts, the Wolf and Action Jackson, who are keeping rock alive by talking classic rock, hard rock, progressive rock, heavy metal, 80s music, early MTV, UK versus US chart success, and much more. This is the home of classic album and live concert reviews, and your place for interviews with artists and legends. You're rocking with the Wolf.
Hey out there, rock and rollers. Welcome to the 172nd episode of the Ugly American Werewolf in London Rock Podcast. Brought to you by me, your host, Mac B. the Wolf, and I will be joined, as usual, by my partner in crime from the East Coast of the United States of America, Gary Action Jackson. And I hope for your sake that you tuned in to our last episode when we had none other than ex-Genesis member and Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Steve Hackett on the show talking to us about his new album, The Circus and the Night Whale, which actually went to number one on the British rock charts its first week out. And then at the second half of the show, we actually got to see Steve live the first night in Jacksonville, Florida, that he debuted some songs off of The Circus and the Night Whale while wrapping up his Foxtrot at 50 tour, celebrating the Genesis Classic. Great guy, and he's still on tour in the USA through the middle of April, so go to HackettSongs.com and see if he's coming near you. And if he is, trust me, go to the show. Even if you don't know the back catalog that well, his tone is incredible. His whole band is tight as can be. It's a great show, and it's a great introduction to his music if you've never seen him before. Now, this show, we're lucky enough to have another legend who we were really big fans of growing up, and that's Mel Gaynor, the veteran drummer, who's been a session drummer for decades and worked with some of the greatest artists of all time, but is probably best known for being the drummer in Simple Minds for more than 30 years. And yes, he joined the band before they had the huge international hit, Don't You Forget About Me, which went to number one in America in May of 1985, helped them get onto the Philadelphia stage of Live Aid that summer. And what's really cool is Mel has made a new album where he is the lead singer. He wrote the songs. He arranged the songs. And I think you'll find his voice is very masculine and very cool. And of course, he's playing the drums. And then he's got some folks to help him out, including some members of his family, to create his new record, Come With Me, which is out May 6th. But as we release this, his first single, Run, which has a bit of a folky country feel to it, maybe Celtic feel, if you will, is out now, and you can check that out. But we will give you some intro to some of the other songs in the album, which is eclectic. It covers a few different genres and shows off all the different styles and things that Mel is into. Of course, we had a live review of Simple Minds without Mel last year, and this year we did a review of Sparkle in the Rain on its 40th anniversary, which was the first album on which Mel contributed to the writing of the songs and was a full-time member of the band. But first, just a little bit of business. As usual, we like to mention we are proud members of the Pantheon Podcast Network, a family of about 100 different shows of all musical genres. There really is something in there for everyone. You can check them out at pantheonpodcast.com or follow on socials at Pantheon Pods. And we have to give a shout out to our great sponsor, RareVinyl.com. They're based in the UK, folks, but they ship all around the world, and they have over 250,000 items in stock. They take great care to procure these records, to catalog them, to keep them in great shape, and then make sure they get to you in the condition in which you bought them. And we've seen a lot of orders here lately. That's great. We appreciate it. It does help our show, but know that it's a one-time code, but it'll work for an entire order. It's not just one item. So if you go in and buy 15 things for a few hundred quid, you can save 30 quid. But if you buy one thing for 5 quid, all right, well, great, you save 50p, but if you would have bought everything that you wanted from there at once, it would have saved you a lot more money. So just know, when you go to rarevinyl.com and use the code UGLY, you'll save 10%, but it's on the entire order one time. Great folks there. They have an incredible selection. They have a lot of Simple Mind stuff on there. So check out rarevinyl.com. Use the code UGLY to save 10%. Now back to Mel. We get such a charge out of being able to talk to people who we saw on MTV back in the day and followed their careers and just worship them from afar. So it's really cool to talk to Mel and be able to ask him a few questions about his days in the 80s and Simple Minds. But what's also really cool is that we get the chance to hear records before they hit the public. And his new album, Come With Me, is a good one. It's cool, and we're going to go over it with him here on the show. So enough of my yakking. Let's get to Mel Gaynor of Simple Minds. Talk about his new album, Come With Me.
Come with me. Good afternoon.
Hey, Mel, how are you?
Not too bad. How are you?
Very well, thank you. I'm Mac, and that is Action Jackson somewhere on your screen there. And
hey, how are you doing?
Doing all right. Doing all right. Thank you so much for being here.
No problem at all. No problem.
Great. No, thanks so much for coming on. We have a lot of stuff that we want to ask you about, talk to you about. And of course, we want to talk to you about your new album, Come With Me, which we've been listening to here and are excited about it. But we want to give our listeners just a little bit of background about, you know, how you got into the music business coming up and all that kind of thing.
Okay, no problem.
And I know that you were born in London, right? To what is it, Jamaican and Brazilian parents?
That's right. Yeah, both my parents were musicians, and I was born to my loving parents, and here I am.
There you are. Yeah. So you're growing up in London in the 60s and the 70s. That must have been an amazing time, especially for a musician, as London kind of came out of gray post-war and then went into Technicolor with all the amazing things that were happening culturally around that time.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it was a great time in the 60s and 70s for music. You know, you had all the great bands, Led Zeppelin, Rolling Stones, well, you name them. I mean,
yeah, The Who, whoever, yeah.
Who, yeah, and there's more obscure bands like The Move. Hmm. Jess Roden band and Steve Gibbons band around at that time, who I went to see. Yeah, there were some great moments at that time.
So, what did your parents play? I mean, were they playing out all this time when you were a kid?
Well, no, they weren't professional musicians.
Okay, I got you.
But my mother was a singer, amateur singer. My father was an amateur trumpet player. The only professional in the family was my brother, who was a professional. And he played with Stevie Wonder, Eddie Grant, many people.
So was he the one that kind of got you into thinking, oh, I could do this for a living?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, he's the one who kind of took me under his wing and took me to a lot of clubs, you know, the Marquee Club and when I was really young, and took me to a lot of concerts. And he's the one who really encouraged me.
Was there any one concert when you were a young man or even a kid when you saw that, you're like, okay, wow, this is it. This is kind of what I want to do.
Well, I mean, what first inspired me to play drums was seeing a guy called Buddy Rich.
Oh, yeah.
And also John Bonham. So that gave me the inspiration to play drums. But when I went to see Sly and the Family Stone
at
White City Stadium here in London, that just blew my mind. I mean, that was incredible. I mean, incredible experience, incredible playing. You know, it was just overall an incredible day.
Yeah, Sly Stone. Wow, what a show. Well, I mean, as long as he shows up, right? But yeah, it sounds like he did.
I mean, he was 40 minutes late getting on stage. And and he left the band for 40 minutes as well while he took off to the airport. So, yeah, nice.
Oh, yeah. That's funny. Well, about how old were you when you saw that show?
I was about 14, I think, when I went there and saw him. Yeah, 13 or 14.
And so isn't that about when you started to get gigs and become a professional?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, I was still at school at the time, obviously, but 15, I started to cut my teeth with a band called American Express, which is a school band that I was in.
Okay.
And after that, the age of 16, I pretty much turned professional and left school and hit the road straight away.
Amazing.
Yeah. Good for you. Now, before you got to find the Scottish Boys and Simple Minds, I didn't know this about you. You were in Samson for a bit?
Yeah, I kind of cut my teeth in Samson. Before Samson, I was in the Nolan Sisters, and I was touring with them quite a bit. So to go from the Nolan Systems to Samson, that was quite a shock.
Yeah, I can imagine.
you're talking about sweet, innocent, whispering vocals from the Nolans, and then, you know, hard-hitting rock from Samson. And that was a great band to be in, you know, alongside Bruce Dickinson and the rest of the guys. Yeah, it was a great band.
Well, you know, Bruce Dickinson is Gary's new best friend. After we stayed in the same hotel with the boys at an Antwerp show last summer, Gary walked right up and introduced himself, and now they're best friends.
Wow, yeah. Excellent.
Yeah. Sure. He'll be coming to my birthday party later, I'm sure. Yeah, real sweetheart of a guy. Just played this huge gig, just trying to relax a little bit. I just went up and introduced myself. He couldn't have been nicer. So very, very nice to meet him.
Yeah, yeah.
And who would have imagined that you two were in a band together and then 40 years later,
you're both putting out solo albums this year. His Mandrake project just came out. And oh, you're Come With Me comes out. Is it May 6th? Is that the date?
May 3rd. May 3rd.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a great honor to bring a solo album out and it be well received by the likes of you guys and everybody else. So it's really an achievement for me.
Well, let's get into that, because we'll circle back. We'll do some Simple Mind stuff, but we want to talk about the album. Why was this the right time for you to step out and do this?
Well, originally it was meant to come out before lockdown, and. Obviously, lockdown happened, so we put everything, we shelved everything, canned it, because we had a tour lined up and everything. So we shelved it, and then 5 years ago, I thought, let me just pull out the tracks and see what's happening. Pulled them out, and it sounded good. And I said, well, maybe it could sound better. So I got a guy called Michael Smith to remix all the songs. And here we are today, you know, it's sounding great, you know, you're sounding fantastic.
I was going to say, how is it different from going from being the drummer to now being the front man, the lead of the band?
Well, it feels good. I mean, it's a heavy weight on the shoulders, but it feels, you know, it feels comfortable. It's not like a big harnessing weight, which is, you know, I'm not used to. I'm used to performing, obviously, but being a kind of front man now is just a different idiom. And I feel comfortable with it. It's not a problem.
It sounds like it on the record. It sounds like you're very comfortable singing. It sounds like you're very comfortable kind of going back and forth with playing the drums.
Well, at the moment, I'm actually singing and playing.
Okay.
So, I'm singing lead and playing drums as well. So, so it's coming together really well. And we've got a great band as well.
Yeah, that comes through loud and clear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, are these friends of yours? I mean, I know you're a writer and a composer and arranger, but you don't play like guitar. You don't play everything on this. You've got some friends to help you on this.
Yeah, I've got a guitarist called James Ford. He's a great guy, and he contributed a lot to the album. And I'm playing a bit of bass on it, and we got another guy coming called Toby Baker, who's a keyboard player. Okay. And singing background vocals is my daughter, Melissa.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she sung on quite a lot of the album as well. So it's a family affair.
No, that's great. She has a beautiful voice.
And also, my brother plays on stage. My brother plays guitar on stage as well. So that completes the lineup.
Really is a family affair. Now, did you all play together? I know you did a couple gigs in February. Did they gig out with you?
Well, yeah, we've done a couple of gigs in February. We've done the Water Rats, and they were with me, yeah. So it was great. It was really great to be with them on stage. It felt really comfortable.
And they went down well?
Yeah, incredibly well. Yeah, we took the roof off the place.
Excellent.
So it's great. So we're looking forward to going on tour, probably the back end of summer, probably end of June, something like that.
You're going to do UK, Europe?
We're going to do UK first, and then see what happens in later on, do Europe, and then hopefully get over to you guys in the States.
Excellent. Oh. We would love that. Yeah. That's for
absolutely.
Sure.
Hi, this is Gary Kemp.
And this is Guy Pratt.
And you're listening to The Ugly American Werewolf in London
podcast.
Hello, Pantheon podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has 3 pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house. And my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out, because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with 2 devices at once, new quick charge function, 3 customizable sound styles plus awareness mode, available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
Hey folks, Stefan Shirazi and Renee Richardson here from the Metallica Report.
And we are proud members of the Pantheon podcast family, where the best of music and podcasts unite.
We've got something pretty cool for you. We're giving away an exclusive Metallica merch package worth over $250.
That's a whole lot of scary guys, skulls, M72, and other sought-after Metallica swag. And we've made it easy for you to win. Follow and share the Metallica Report, and you're in the game. Go to pantheonpodcast.com/Metallica, enter your email, and hit that button to be entered to win.
And just like that, you're eligible for our monthly exclusive Metallica merch package.
And guess what, rockers? You can enter every month, so just do it. And while we love our global brothers and sisters, the lawyers won't let us ship outside the U.S.
All right, so your first single, Run.
Yeah,
it grabs you, you know, right away. It's got a great melody to it. It's got some great Celtic fiddle on there.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, no, is it the story of like a guy who really doesn't want to get anything done and just wants to run away from his problems?
Well, what it is about a guy who just pretty much had enough of his responsibilities. So he just wanted to get away and run away from it just for, I guess, a time, a limited period, and then maybe come back in. But for that particular moment, he just wanted to get away and run away from everything. So that's the kind of story behind what was happening.
Yeah, I think everybody can relate to that. You just get to that point where you're like, you know what? I just need a break.
Exactly. I just want to run away. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And so it's catchy. I mean, I hope people play it on the radio because it's great. I think it'll fit in really well around the world.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
But I'll tell you, a song I might actually like more is Keep On Believing, the next song on the record.
Okay.
Because it starts melodic. You can even maybe hear maybe a little bit of melodies that maybe you might have heard with your old band. But then you've got some heavy guitar in there, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's a very positive message, right, about not giving up, about believing in yourself, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of messages on the album, you know, Keep On Believing, Run, Little White Lies, which is going to be the next single.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and that's pretty much about, you know, everybody telling fibs when they shouldn't. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of messages on the album, and it seems to be quite an eclectic album because there's something in there for everybody, you know. There's funk in there, there's ballads in there, there's rock, like you said. And, it's quite eclectic. It's quite eclectic.
Yeah, it is nice. There's definitely some tempo and gear changes in there. So it kind of keeps you guessing as to what's coming next.
Absolutely. 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 Yeah.
Yeah. And Dangerous has a little bit of that funk in there that you were talking about. You know, I like that one too.
Yeah. Dangerous is kind of conceived with the in mind of kind of Lenny Kravitz. You know, we had that kind of Lenny Kravitz kind of vibe in there. We thought, you know, an ode to Lenny Kravitz would be, you know, a good thing to do with him.
Yeah, absolutely. And then even something like Waters, where it's maybe it's a little slower, more contemplative, but it's not slow, right? It's still got that nice rhythm to it, nice beat to it, and it kind of builds a little bit.
Yeah, it's a kind of mid-tempo ballad. And yeah. Still Waters is pretty much about, you know, you reflect on life and you're kind of going through kind of the stream of life, you know, and, you know, you once in a while you just have a moment, and that's the kind of Still Waters moment, you know, where you reflect over everything and you just want to, you know, just be in a trance for a while.
Do you find yourself experiencing more of those at this age than maybe you did as a younger man? Because I think I do.
Absolutely. I think the older you get, the wiser you get, and the more experience you get. But you just have moments in let's say that the older you get, you have more experiences that you can reflect on, and you know, this album really is a big reflection on life. Thinking you were mine, can't believe all my tears, wishing you.
It's funny because I try and give that to my son, try and pass some stuff on. He's like, yeah. You know, I've got this. I'm like, okay, you'll learn. And then sometimes he'll come back to me and say, you know what? You were right about that.
See? Because that's experience, you see. Right. That's longevity, you know. That's, you know, the older folk know what they're talking about, you know. And I always learn from, you know, if it wasn't for my old auntie, rest her soul, you know, it was, you know, from my father when he was alive. He used to tell me things. And I look back on them now and I think, damn, you're right. You're absolutely right. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
You learn from your elders.
Yeah.
And when you're going through life, when you're in your 20s and your 30s and you're building a career, you're so busy doing it, you don't have time to reflect, right? And especially for someone like you, you know, 20s and 30s, well, you're touring the world, you're playing stadiums and arenas and doing interviews and stuff. There's no time to reflect on that.
That's right. Yeah. So it was a good time to write the album and to encompass all the feelings and reflections and put them into songs.
Well, we're glad that you did. But now, you didn't write every song on this album. There are some pretty prominent covers on here.
Absolutely.
And I know that you worked with Robert Palmer, but Wicked Game, I thought, was an interesting choice.
What did you think of Wicked Game?
Well, I've always loved the original, right? And then when I saw the title, I'm like, oh, yeah, same title as Chris Isaak. And then I'm like, oh, he's really doing it here. How about that? You know, no, I liked it. But I didn't know if there was a connection between you and Chris or not.
No, there's no connection. I just love that song. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to do that song. And I've heard versions of it in the past. And I thought, it's a bit rocky. And I've heard other versions, a bit poppy. So I thought I'd just strip it back and make it a real dark, cold, in a way, enlightening ballad, you know. Yeah. And kind of worked.
Yeah, if you told me you were going to take that song and slow it down, I'm like, oh, I don't know if that would work. It's awesome. It's real, like you said, it's really dark. It's almost nothing. And then, is that your daughter singing with you?
That's my daughter singing. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That works really well.
Thank you very much. Thank you. No, it was great to record that, and it's great to do it live as well. We played it live recently, and the crowd loved it. I mean,
I bet.
No. This world is only gonna break your heart. No, I don't wanna fall in love. This world is only gonna break your heart with you.
Yeah. And it's very masculine too, because like you said, there's been some other covers. I think I've heard a couple of female versions.
Yeah.
And that's great and all, but to me, it's still from a man's perspective. So if you give a little more deep masculine vocal to it, I think it's great.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So the Why Can't We Live Together, now that's more of a rocker, but then you're throwing a little sax in there. I mean, sax was huge, of course, in the mid-80s when you were kind of getting into the Simple Minds. Is that something that you thought about, like, hey, let's put a little flavor in here?
Well, it was a kind of intention to be like a police type of song. So it was like a kind of trio-esque kind of outing on that one. But then I thought, let me put some sax in it. And then we put a horn section on there. You know, we added trumpet as well. So in the little breaks, there's horns in there, which kind of works. And, you know, it kind of gave a different perspective to what we were doing. And, it worked. In a way, it worked.
Yeah, I've got a note here, especially on that track. It's kind of a bummer of a message, you know. Why is everybody fighting? Why can't we live together? But the beat is upbeat, so you're kind of delivering this bummer message with a very upbeat style, so it works.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to get across, you know, because I didn't want to, make it like a kind of, you know, you should get on and you should be together and why can't we live together? I didn't want to make it a negative kind of song. I wanted to make a positive song with a kind of enlightened message, let's say, you know, because of all the atrocities that are going on now.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be send a positive message out there. Like, why can't we live together? Let's get on. What are we doing?
I think it's more not like you're preaching to anybody. You're just putting that question out. Like,
absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So it's a positive negative, as it were.
Why can't we live together? Stop the fighting in this world. We can live together. So much misery.
What have you ever toured in any of these places that are having wars right now, like in the Ukraine or Israel or Russia or any of those spots?
Not Russia or Israel. We played in Lebanon. I played in Lebanon about 3 years ago with Imagination, who's the other band that I kind of frequent as well.
Yeah,
and it was an incredible experience. I mean, lovely people. I mean, I don't want to get political. I don't want to get into that, but you know,
sure.
Like I said in the song. Why can't we just live together and be at peace?
Yeah. Right. Of course, Imagination had the big hit Illusion for our friends in America, which I still love to this day. Fire in the Rain, that's a song I feel like a lot of people can relate to. Like, you're on the road and this is what you do. You have to do this to make your way, but it still doesn't make it any easier to be away from the ones you love.
That's right. Yeah. And that's pretty much the sentiment, you know, through that, because, you know, you're driving yourself through the fire and through the rain at the same time. And, you know, and you think about your siblings and your family and your wife and kids, and, you know, you just think, you know, I want to just get back to see them as soon as possible. And that's the kind of journey that I go in through that.
And that one's got a little country flavor to it.
Yeah, it kind of has. I mean, there's a country feeling Run, there's a country feeling Fire in the Rain. And I guess it's kind of owed to country music, because to me, some of the best songs that are ever written are country songs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I listen to country. I never really used to listen to it that much, but of late I'm listening to a lot more country artists, and they're inspiring me to come up with these kind of country inspired songs. So let's see if we can break into country.
There you go.
Yeah, why not?
Why not?
Way back, and tonight I've made this choice. Oh baby, I'm calling out.
Well, so your parents are American, or you know, this side of the hemisphere, right? But you're clearly English. What did your parents like to play for you? What kind of music were they into?
They were playing from Miles Davis to Weather Report to Bessie Smith to Ella Fitzgerald. You know,
Wow.
You know, my brother was playing a lot of rock stuff, you know, Led Zeppelin and the Stones and, you know, it was Black Sabbath. There was a multitude of you know, genres. And then I ended up playing, some of the first music I played was R&B. You know, it was like, you know, Casey and the Sunshine Band, James Brown, you know, getting into the deep funk, you know, with Lakeside and Slave. You know, I was playing all that sort of stuff when I was growing up, you know, when I was in my teens.
Yeah.
And, you know, it wasn't till a bit later when I joined Samson, I got into the heavier side.
Sure. So we closed the album with Addicted to Love, Robert Palmer's big hit. You did some work with Robert as a session player, did you not?
I toured with him, yeah. I toured
with him. Oh, you did?
In the band, yeah. And that was an incredible experience. And he was a guy who kind of inspired me to sing live.
Okay. Is that right?
Because he knew I could sing. And, you know, I didn't have a mic up when I was playing. And all of a sudden in soundcheck, he said, listen, give that man behind on the drums a mic because I know he can sing. So give him a mic.
Nice.
So that was great of him. You know, he was a real great guy. He's a good friend of mine as well.
Well, of course, it was a terrible loss when we lost him. It's been a while since he's been gone now. I think he was only 50 years old.
Yeah, that's right.
But that's a great way to end the record. And I mean, I think that it's almost like a dirtier version, just like the way it sounds. And I think it works really well as a cover.
Yeah, when he said because he came up and sung it, he sung the second verse. And he said, Mel, I have to tell you that this is a heavier version than mine. I thought my version was quite heavy, but this is heavier. and I was like, oh, that's a rule for him to say that, you know.
And that's him. That's him on the track.
That's him on the second verse, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing. You like to think you're immune to the stuff. Oh, yeah.
Face it, you're addicted to love. My lady's love. Face it, you're addicted to love. My lady's love. Face it, you're addicted to love. My lady's love.
And how long have you been sitting on that?
Well, I've been sitting on that for quite some time, actually. About 10 years, actually.
Yeah.
I've been sitting on that one, and I thought, yeah, let's put it on the album because it's a great track, great version, and okay. It's Robert on there, so.
Because we were thinking that might be a sample or something, but that's actually him singing
that's
live.
Actually him singing it. Yeah, that's actually
that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the big man himself.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, that's a great tribute to him and a great way to kind of wrap up the album. Out May the 3rd. Come with me on a Marquee Records. Make sure everybody goes out and picks
absolutely
that up.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Run is out now as we're recording this, out as a single. And you say Little White Lies will be out again at some point.
As a second single, and possibly in conjunction with Little White Lies, just for America, could be Wicked Game as well.
Ah.
Oh, okay.
So that'd be an American release specifically.
Excellent. I love it when folks put out singles in different parts of the world. Like you get this one and you get this one.
Territory. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's got to be done. It's got to be done. Yeah.
Hi, this is Jim Cregan, and you're listening to The Ugly American Werewolf in London, and they're just the best.
So let's circle back for a minute how you got to Simple Minds, because they were a big part of our lives in America growing up as teenagers. We're 50, 51 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like 39 years ago, like right around this time that the Don't You Forget About Me song came out, which is obviously huge in America. But you had been, I guess, you weren't officially part of the band on New Gold Dream. You were just recording with them at first. Is that
just
right?
A session, man. Yeah, it wasn't until Sparkle in the Rain where I actually joined the band and become a writer.
Which we love, by the way. It just turned 40 not so long ago.
That's right. Yeah.
And we went track by track on that. So what was that like? You know, these are Scottish boys who kind of grown up together. Now here's this pro from down in London, down in the big city. Did you mesh right away, or was it that work on the session that they kind of got to know, hey, this bloke, he knows what he's doing?
Yeah, it was a kind of you know, you have to prove yourself, I guess. And you know, I proved that I could play the songs. and also brought another element, like a more rocky, funky element to the band. So that was kind of the collusion into writing with Simple Minds and evolving from there.
Yeah, I think you can definitely tell the difference between New Gold going into Sparkle in the Rain with your kind of touches on the songs.
Yeah. It was a kind of complete thing, and we got into writing pretty much straight after we recorded New Gold Dream. And I remember us going to like a pretty remote location and basically getting down to a lot of the ideas, and it was fun. It was really good fun.
Okay, now what about like making videos? All of a sudden, that's as important as making the record in 1983, 84, 85. And I'm thinking about like Catwalk and things like that. Was that fun? Or is that just like a long day with weird stuff going on around you?
Well, yeah, you got it right. It was a long day with the weird stuff going on. I mean, it started off, I think, something like 5 in the morning.
Oh, goodness.
We didn't get completed till about 9, 10 in the evening. It was a long day, but it was worth it because of the results. But, it was always fun doing videos. It was a long day. It was a long day, I must confess. But, you know, it was there.
And then what about when you start seeing yourself on TV like that? Is that mind-boggling, or is that like, yeah, that's what we wanted, that's what we're going for?
Yeah, it was mind-boggling. I remember seeing myself for the first time with Alive and Kicking, and we were right on the edge of a huge mountain in upstate New York, and I kept thinking, what the hell am I doing here? Because the director had us up all night drinking, and we were like, we have to do a video, like, you know, the next morning. Nah, it's all right, just have another drink, have another vodka. He's a Polish guy, you know, he's crazy. And I just woke up with this huge hangover.
Oh god,
I've got to go and do a video now. And lo and behold, you know, I just played drums, and you could see it on my face, I was just still like this. And and I couldn't move, because if I moved, I would have probably fallen off the drum kit. But but it was fun. It was fun to do, but it was just, you know, pretty intense.
All right, so back up from Alive and Kicking then. Before that, of course, you kind of get coaxed into doing this Keith Forsey, Steve Schiff song, right? Don't You Forget About Me, which you all didn't want to do, right? Like, we write songs. We don't need your songs, right?
Yep.
And then they show you the movie, like, oh, this will help if we show you the movie. I'm like, I don't think it would. Like, it helped us because we're American teenagers and that movie spoke to us at that time. But being from a different culture and being older, did you see the movie and it's like, nah, that doesn't make it any, make us want to do it anymore, pal?
Yeah, I mean, it was, I mean, it got turned down by quite a few people.
Right.
Bowie, Brian Ferry.
Right.
Psychedelic Furs. It got turned down by a few of those people, and we didn't want to take up the challenge. We were not keen on taking up the challenge because we didn't, like you said, we didn't write the song. So we always writing our own songs. But this song was special. And when I first heard it, I thought, yeah, that's definitely a hit. It is a hit song. But it's just, we wanted to recreate it in our own style. And I think we pulled that off in the studio. And it was a great song.
Yeah, and your drum break right before Jim goes into the la-la-la parts, iconic, my friend.
Thank you very much.
I can't tell you how big an impact that song had on our generation. And yes, it's tied into the movie, but
yeah,
I get goosebumps every time I hear it on the radio. I make my 9-year-old sing it with me every time. She loves it. You know, this is how we keep the music alive, my friend.
Fantastic.
I was driving my son to the SATs on Saturday, and of course, neither one of us wanted to be in the car that early. And that song comes on. I got all excited. I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, we get to talk to Mel on Monday, and this is a great song. And, you know, the break is fantastic. So we pull into the school, and there's a lot of people there. Yes. There's a lot of people taking the SATs, and my son says, oh yeah, there's Saturday school too. I'm like, just like the Breakfast Club. It's still happening.
Wow. Incredible. Incredible. I bet they were playing the song as well.
I bet they were thinking about that. But, you know, you mentioned that about the movie. There were a lot of songs from the 80s that were in movies that were kind of a hit that you remember when you watched the movie. But that one was huge on its own. And I think it probably helped to sell the movie a lot more than the movie helped to sell it. So
possibly, yeah. Possibly,
you know,
did, yeah.
Just a huge part of the 80s myth, I guess. That's, you know, you think of what are the huge songs of the 80s? That's got to be one or two right up there at the top.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
So yep. Number one hit in America. Now you're off and running, right? And then right after that, your Once Upon a Time with Jimmy Iovine producing comes out. So now you're rolling. Is this when the rocket ship? Because you're already doing well in England, in the UK, in like New Zealand and Australia. But now it's instead of doing this, you're kind of starting to do this, right?
Yeah, I mean, soon after Live Aid came, we played Live Aid, which was another groundbreaker for us. Mm. Then we brought out Once Upon a Time, and you know, Alive and Kicking came off that, and that catapulted us, you know, right through the stratosphere, as it were. And we didn't stop touring from then.
From then on, yeah. Now you were in Philadelphia for Live Aid, correct?
That's right. Yeah,
mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. What an amazing day.
I was going to say, what was that like to come out and see that many people?
Oh, it's just unbelievable. I mean, coming from, you know, recording in Woodstock with Once Upon a Time, and then coming to, you know, from the peace and tranquility of that, and then coming back into like 100,000 people screaming, and I'm like, Jesus, it's unbelievable. Great. It was a great, great, great time. Great, great day.
Oh, that's amazing.
Group had a hit called Don't You Forget About Me. They are one of the biggest international hottest acts around now. They are from Scotland. Please welcome Simple Minds.
But I always kind of wondered, because of course your rocket ship took off all around the world. Was Don't You Forget About Me both a blessing and a curse in that it went to number one, which is huge success. That's amazing. But then a lot of people in America say, oh, well, do you like Simple Minds? Oh, yeah, they had that song from Breakfast Club. I'm like, no, they've had dozens of hits around the world. They've sold 60 million records. They're one of the best bands of their generation. But it never was on a Simple Minds album until you put out a Greatest Hits, right? It wasn't on Once Upon a Time.
That's right.
Was that... I'm sure you didn't regret it at the time, but is that something looking back, like if we just put that like on the back end of Once Upon a Time, instead of being gold, that would have been multi-platinum in the US?
Maybe. You never know. I mean, we would never know that. But I think if it was included on the album, I think the album would have taken off even more. Definitely.
I agree with you. Yeah. Mm. Now, I understand why you wouldn't want to put it on. It's like, look, we didn't make that with Jimmy. We didn't write it. It's for the soundtrack.
Absolutely. That's why it wasn't on the album. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, lots of bands don't put soundtrack songs on their own album, right? They do the song and they give it to the movie. But that was such a huge hit. I think that would have changed maybe your fortunes in America. Maybe not around the world so much, but in America it might have been a little different. I don't know.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
It still worked out for everyone, though, let's face it, right?
Yeah, of course. We still toured, and we still had a good amount of success of it, so it's not to be frowned upon.
No. And you're doing great now. This new album is great. It's great to see someone who is known for one thing. Oh, he's a great drummer. Well, most musicians can do more than one thing. And like you said, you've helped write songs over the years, big hits. So now you're doing it on your own. Does it feel good to step up?
It feels great. It feels really good. I mean, it feels like I've achieved what I wanted to achieve with this album, and you know, I'd like to go on and achieve more success with the next album as well. But this is a starting block on which I want to just, you know, ride up and keep you guys happy.
Well, keep doing it, man. And come see us. Come to America, you know.
Absolutely. I will do. I will do. I'll definitely get to America. Definitely.
Is there anything else you wanted to ask of Mel there, Action?
I think we're good. I think we covered a lot of stuff, and we really appreciate your time and relaying and some talent and the stories to us also.
Well, thank you very much for having me, and it's been a pleasure, and definitely see you guys soon.
Thank you.
That's awesome, Mel. Thank you so much, and all the best of luck with this record, and anytime you want to come back and promote something or talk music, you are welcome here, my friend.
Thank you very much. Pleasure.
Thanks. Thank you.
Have a great day.
Take care.
Well, he's a fun guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Just a real pleasant person and a guy who just really enjoys making music. That came through loud and clear. And talking about how he was growing up, how he got into this, you know. This is why we do this thing, to talk
exactly.
to people like that.
You know, yeah. And I love it that he just doesn't want to, he could ride the rest of his life like I was the drummer in Simple Minds, you know, and
right.
he could go out and just play Simple Minds stuff on the drums, do club gigs and like that. No, man, he's going out to do something new, something fresh, something with him as a singer, his perspective, you know?
And it's huge that Robert Palmer gave him that shout out that, you know, get this guy a mic because he can sing.
Yeah.
But that it has to be, and I know he played it kind of cool, but it has to be a little bit nervous, a little bit anxious to mm-hmm. step out there and say, okay, now I'm going to be front and center. And I understand he's still playing drums, which kind of takes a little bit away from you, but I mean, a little bit of your mind away from that. You've got to concentrate on two things,
right?
But still, yeah, to do that, he could have just spent the rest of his time being a big time session musician,
yeah,
doing stuff like that. But yeah, to have that desire to make new music is cool. And you hear the story about how his daughter is there with him.
That's super cool to me.
Yeah, just kind of passing that on.
You know, that's great, you know. And yeah, he talks about being a session player because he's doing sessions. That's how he got into Simple Minds. But he's been a session player for Elton John and Lou Reed and Tina Turner and Jackson Browne and Gary Moore and Peter Gabriel, Brian May. I mean, not to mention Robert Palmer. I'm like, he's worked with all these greats, but you're right, because Robert Palmer, he wasn't just his drummer. He's like, that man can sing. He can add something to what we're doing here. You know, let's get him on board. Give him the opportunity. That's amazing.
How cool is that it's really him on the record? I just think, like we said, he died, what, in 2006, I think?
It was a while ago, yeah.
I thought there was no way that was him. It was either somebody trying to sound like him or a loop that they mm-hmm. had. But to know that's really him, that makes it that much more special.
So cool. So cool. I mean, you're right. I mean, this is why we do the show. We can do album reviews from stuff that's 40, 50 years old, and people love them, and we love those albums too. But to talk to the people who made not only those records we love, but are forging forward, just like mm-hmm. Steve Hackett, right?
Yeah.
He could rest on his laurels? No. He's celebrating what he did back in the day, but he's also making new music, and some of it's the best he's ever done. I'm sure Mel feels the same way about his new record, Come With Me.
Yeah, absolutely. And seemed excited about coming to the United States and would love to see him play live, given the opportunity.
Yeah, we got to stay on top of that because it sounded like he might be able to get here this year, or it might be 2025, so we'll have to keep everybody informed of all that.
Absolutely.
Well, we appreciate Mel Gaynor coming on the show to talk all about his new album, Come With Me, which is out May 3rd. And if you want to hear the opening single, Run, you can find it now on streaming services. And we really appreciate him coming on. Great guy. Tells some good stories. Made some time for us Simple Mind fanboys to ask a few questions about that. And you can check out melgaynor.com to learn more about when he might have some dates coming up. Sounds like he's going to do a UK tour at some point in the summer. So all our British English fans should be ready for that. Scottish, I guarantee you he gets up into Scotland at some point. And then hopefully we'll get him over here in the USA too. It's just great to see musicians that you love growing up, not just resting on their laurels. He could just tour and do Simple Minds music or just go play the drums in imagination. But no, he wants to put out something new where he's singing, his voice telling his stories, all of his arrangements and compositions. Not to mention, some pretty cool covers in there. Great guy. Definitely go out and check out MelGaynor.com. You can follow him on the different social media sites and make sure you pre-order Come With Me before it comes out on May 3rd. A quick clarification, the song By Imagination was just an illusion. I think I just called it illusion. Mel wasn't in the band when it was released and became a big international hit, but as he said, he tours with them on a regular basis. And Just an Illusion was actually featured at the end of FX, the movie starring Brian Brown and Bryant Dennehy back in the 80s. That's the first time I heard it, and I always loved it. So now we've got two of my favorite movie soundtrack songs, along with, of course, the all-time classic soundtrack song, Don't You Forget About Me from The Breakfast Club. In this episode, folks, is that putting it all together or what? So we want to know, folks, did we get something right? Did we get something wrong? Did we miss the point? Did we leave out your favorite part? You have to let us know. Email us. It's uglyamericanwerewolf@gmail.com. Let us know the bands, the albums, the concerts, the DVDs, the books, the music properties you want to hear us talk about on the show. And if you're thinking about it, guys, we'd ask you to please not only subscribe and download to the show wherever you get your podcast. Those downloads are a big help to us going up the food chain and getting more great guests like Mel. But also, if you're thinking about it, give us a 5-star review. Apple's probably the best place. Spotify's great for us, too. But really, anywhere you get your podcast, you give us that 5-star review. It just helps us grow the show and helps us find more rock and roll fans like you. Thanks, as always, to Pantheon Pods for making us part of the family. And thanks to our sponsor, RareVinyl.com, where if you use code UGLY, you can save 10% off your entire order one time. That's it for this one. Jackson and I will be back next week with more rock and roll. But until then, and to all of you rock and rollers all around the world, be cool and keep doing what you do to keep rock alive.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.